prayer. Father, I just thank you for the day. I thank you for everyone, Lord Jesus, that's here today to learn and to grow. We just want to glorify you, Father. We want to magnify you, follow your leading, and see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I ask that you just lead us through your word today, and that your word, Lord, would just be magnified in us, Father. And that you'd transform us from the inside out, that we would live lives that glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I won't even go there. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we talked last week about some qualities of the Holy Spirit, how he talks to us through pictures or movies, through words or paragraphs, and through inspiration inside of us, nudging, inward knowing, inspiration, or an irritation, something's wrong feeling, an agitation inside of us. All of those are ways that the Holy Spirit can lead us. And so we're going to be actually exercising our Holy Spirit gift today. Now, the Lord has given us our prayer language, our gift of praying in tongues, specifically for the purpose of us being edified in our inward person. So we're going to get a chance to do that for the purpose of being edified, built up, and energized. And if we're feeling at all in our life a little bit weighted down, a little sleepy, and I don't mean the physical kind of sleepy, I mean the spiritually aware kind of sleepy, to where we're not really tuned in to the things of God, this praying in the Holy Spirit is very powerful because it's designed to energize us. So what we need to do is pray to be energized, okay? And in that, he may give us a word, he may give us a revelation, he may show us something that he'd like us to know. And so let's not think that just because we're getting charged up, he's not faithful to give us even more than that. Amen? All right, so I want to talk a little bit about activating these gifts inside of us. And we talked last week about 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in front of you in the pew. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Right? So, power, agape, and a sound mind. Okay? Not a spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. So if we're at all don't have a sound mind, we aren't operating in the power of God, we need to stir ourselves up. If love is not overflowing out of us, we need to stir ourselves up. We have to actually do that. Otherwise, we're not actually moving in the Holy Spirit. We're not actually moving under the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to read a couple of verses to you besides this one. In Jeremiah 9, 23, and 24. 9, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Are you with me? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Understanding and knowing God. Glory in the fact that you actually understand God and you actually know Him. Some of you, this is the first time you're hearing this stuff. You actually, this is what is important to Him, that you understand Him and that you know Him. Because it says that He exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. He delights in these, He says. Are you with me? We pray in the Holy Spirit. We read our Bible to glean the revelation. We journal and get in communion with God for the knowledge of God to bubble up inside of us. That knowledge comes from divine flow, or the intuitiveness of God flowing out of our spirit into us. Okay? That's how we know God. Look at a couple other verses with me real quickly. Let's do the one in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 10. And I'm going to go through verse 14. Okay? So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10 through 14. For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. I should probably just go a little higher for you. Verse 8. Which not the rulers of this age knew or had. This is the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom of these rulers. And so, but eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. In other words, we can't know those things if we're not born again. But He just said in Jeremiah that it's, if we're to glory in something, we glory in the fact that we actually know Him and understand Him. So these Old Testament people, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God, verse 10, has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, if we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Can he know? Let me go. How does that say? It says, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So what he's saying here is that God's given it to us, but it's in the Spirit. And from His Spirit to our spirit, we can get these things. But it's not the wisdom of this world. It's not the wisdom that man gets. It comes straight from God to us. So if you're not born of the Spirit, this is utter nonsense to you. If you're not born again, you can't get it out of the Spirit. You don't have the access. The Bible says that unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot see into the kingdom of God. And unless you're born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. But if we're born of the Spirit, then we can enter into the Spirit, and we can see in the Spirit, we can hear in the Spirit, and we know by the Spirit. Right? You guys are awesome. Let me give you one more. Talking about stirring ourselves up so that we can operate in these things. 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. Are you there? Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which has been given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So what he's saying is, Timothy, the elders laid hands on you and they spoke over you, and that imparted into you a spiritual gift. You need to think about this. You need to meditate on it. You need to really invest yourself into this so that it's evident that it's operating in your life to everyone else. Okay? Timothy is to speak the word. He's to teach the word. And he's supposed to read the word. Speak the word. Teach the word and read the word. He was supposed to exhort people, build them up, teach them right from wrong from the Bible. And he was supposed to really think about this gift and calling that was put on his life and really own it personally. Whatever the Lord has called you to, he'll hold you accountable for that, not me. And what he's called me to do, that's not your obligation. It's between me and him, right? And then we all have the general, all of us are in the lump of the ministry of reconciliation, right? We reconcile people back to God so that relationship is reestablished. You guys know the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? Does anyone not know the difference? Okay, somebody doesn't know. Great. Give me the opportunity to share off track. Okay, forgiveness is when you release somebody else. It places no demand on them whatsoever to change. No demand to own their stuff. No demand to make it right. It has nothing to do with them. You forgive them. You release them from your heart. If you do not do that, God cannot and will not release you. Forgiveness is to release, divorce, let go of, put away. Has nothing to do with the other person. So if you had an issue with a person and you forgive them, that doesn't mean you need to start hanging out with them again. It doesn't mean they need to be your new best friend. They might be completely unrepentant. They can be not owning their stuff. And they can think, I didn't do nothing. They could be dead. Okay, it has nothing to do with the other person. Your responsibility before God is to empty out every offense, every hurt, everything that you carry. You're under the obligation to have a pure heart and to have that stuff out of you. It's a command. It's a demand. It is an intent thing from God for us to have our hearts pure before him. It says, if you will not forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you yours. New Testament. So what does that mean? Okay, I shouldn't have opened this can of worms. If you have offenses in your heart, God cannot take them out of you for you. He won't. You have to acknowledge it, that it exists. If you can acknowledge that it exists, in other words, grab a hold of this thing. Lord, this is in my heart. I forgive so-and-so. I release them of their debt to me. Cleanse my heart of all unrighteousness. Heal me of the wound that I carried. Fill me with yourself in that spot so that it's gone. It's emptied it out. Okay? We have to empty it out. He can't do it for us. You'll carry it until your final days. Reconciliation is where you have forgiven the other person, but they've also released you. You've owned your part, they've owned their part. You've healed the rift between you, and now you can reinitiate oneness between you. We have a commandment to have the ministry of reconciliation with men to God. Okay? It should just be understood that it's between our own relationships need to be reconciled. But in 2 Corinthians 5, it's us to God. Okay? We reconcile others. God's already forgiven us in Jesus Christ. The world needs to know it's clean on God's side. Now they can let go of what they're holding against God and be reconciled to Him. So there can be peace. Jesus made peace with God and man. So we can be made one again. The ministry of reconciliation. All right? That was just a tidbit, a side note. Nothing to do with the lesson today. Somebody must have needed that. Going on. So we meditate on these things, giving yourselves entirely to them, that our progress may be evident in the sight of all. Amen? We need to have a strong spirit. We need to have spirits that are bright, spirits that are clean, spirits that are active and energized. We pray here every week for a couple of hours before this meeting. And then on Thursday mornings before healing school, we pray for an hour also before healing school. Okay? I've noticed when there's a few of us all together in here, people are very respectful when they pray. So I've noticed everybody kind of prays a little quieter, a little more to themselves, and that's fine if you're talking to God or whatever you do at that time. But the Bible says that we need to stir ourselves up also. So we need to actually energize ourselves by praying in the Holy Spirit. Do any of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about energizing yourself by praying in the Holy Spirit? One, two, three. I see a couple of nods. Okay. Then we're just going to go ahead and do that then. So it says here in my notes, the important foundation for operating in the gifts of the Spirit is to cultivate a strong spiritual life through worship. And worship is a great one, you guys. Worship is one that the church is really good at because we do it on a weekly basis. We come to church and we sing every week. So people are, that's a, probably the strongest, widest, open door for people to come into the presence of God is through worship on Sunday morning, because they do it every week. They're in the group of other people that are doing it. So we're all like-minded doing the same thing. So the person can kind of like settle in and go with the flow. And so in my experience, the worship door is one of the widest ones open in hearing God and coming into the the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the church is trained that it's okay to do that. Next is waiting on God. Waiting on God is a great way to strengthen your spirit. Waiting on God is not tapping my foot. Lord, when are you going to release me? When are you going to anoint me? When are you going to answer my prayers? That is not waiting on God. Not at all. Waiting on God is like a waiter in a restaurant. Okay? It's serving God, being attentive to God. Being attentive to God. In other words, something like practicing the presence of God is a great way of waiting on God. You cultivate the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we'll do an exercise. I'll tell you it now. You can do it anytime you want, but we'll actually do it as a group down the road here in a week or two. And that is, you can cultivate the presence of the Holy Spirit by faith. Okay? What that means is this. With absolutely no proof to you at all that he's around you and with you and evident to you. That's by faith, because there's no proof at this moment that he's with me. I can by faith put my attention on the Holy Spirit, and with my inner man, I can connect to the Holy Spirit through using my inward senses, my imagination, my inner knowings, and by faith acknowledge that I am in the presence of the Holy Spirit to him. And the more that I do that, my natural senses start realigning and retuning into the Spirit. Okay? And only by transforming them, by training them in doing this, will his presence get stronger and stronger and stronger. It'll become easier and easier. The more I just can go, Holy Spirit, I recognize you now. And as I breathe out, I can just feel it happening. My body just starts tingling when I say that now. Not that tingling tells me that he's there. It's a byproduct for me. You go there with no senses, not any clues at all that it's true. But by faith, you enter in and you start cultivating that presence of the Holy Spirit, waiting on God, listening to your conscience, trying to tune into him. You deliberately make yourself aware of him and acknowledge him. And as you do that, it gets stronger and stronger. Not that he gets more present. You become more sensitive to it. What's another good example, Holy Spirit? You're in the woods, camping, okay? Or you're out at night somewhere, walking downtown or something. All of a sudden, you hear a little sound, whatever that sound was. Guess what you do all of a sudden? Everybody stops. And all of a sudden, your ears that were just casually, passively hearing go, and you focus in those ears and you start listening on the horizons. That sound was not the right sound. Is that a bad sound? Is something coming after me? What's in the woods right now? What made that noise? You start listening more intently. Okay? The same way you can do that in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always with us. But all of a sudden we become more intent. We're attentive to him. Are you with me? And all of a sudden that awareness gets more and more. And the more frequently we do it, the more we realign our inner dialogue and our thoughts with him, the more attentive we become to him, to where we're really aware wherever he wants to lead us, whoever he wants us to talk to. Meditation. Meditation can be when you cross your legs, put your hands on your knees, and you do this, and then you make that sound as if somebody did something really wrong. Um, Okay, that is not what we're talking about, meditation. Okay, that's Eastern stuff. What we're talking about is to murmur, or like a cow chews its cud. It'll swallow, chew, swallow. It's got four bellies. It'll chew, swallow, spit up, chew, swallow, spit up, chew, swallow, spit up, chew, swallow, eliminate. Okay, you ever seen those cows just laying there? That's meditating. That is going over and over, turning it over and over, looking at it over and over, thinking on it, comparing it, dissecting it, saying it, learning it. In other words, you're making it so familiar to you that you can just ingest it into who you are. Meditating. To turn over and over and over. It's great when you go to bed at night to meditate on something good before you fall asleep. It's great if you're driving in a car to just start thinking about something of God and just start meditating on it. I personally can't do it in the car anymore because I've learned there's two things I can't do. I cannot enter into the spirit in the car, and I cannot pray in tongues in the car. Because my automatic pilot is broken. I just start going too fast all of a sudden. So I've got to stay in the car when I'm in the car, I've learned. But other things, I can drop right in, you know? And it's really good to just meditate on things, to think on them over and over and over. Reading the Word of God. Your spirit gets strengthened by reading the Word of God. Andrew Womack has a teaching called Effortless Change. It's a very good teaching. And I'll tell you something that I know is true, and a lot of theologians will absolutely disagree with me, and that's okay, because I can't prove it that it's true anyway. I just believe it. Okay, and a lot of us believe stuff, we don't know why we believe it, but we do. And this is one that I believe, and it's okay, I'm perfectly fine if you don't believe it. Because it works for me. I believe that this book is actually given to us by God. I actually believe this book is given to us by God for the purpose of knowing Him. Okay? And there may be things that people can say don't jive, that are wrong, that don't compute, and the theologians can explain all those things. I cannot. And I don't care that I can't. What I do care about is that as I'm reading this with the Holy Spirit, something happens where it gets inside of me and I change the way I think. I start thinking eternity. I start thinking God and love and others. Something wakes up inside of me and just starts, light starts coming in, and I start getting changed just because I'm swallowing this book. I'm devouring this book. I'm letting this book do the changes. So to me, it's alive. To me, it really is alive. And I can't defend that it is. It's true for me. Ready? Pursuing intimacy with God. Does that need an explanation? A guy by the name of Jack Frost, who is very dead right now, but he was teaching something called the Father's Love years ago. And he was one of the guys that really started and kicked off that whole mindset of the Father's Love. And he said this phrase, and it caught my attention. It kept with me. Intimacy. In to me see. Intimacy. In to me see. For me to open my heart up, my mind up, my life up before God and say, Lord, examine me. Look at me and see if there's anything in me that you don't approve of. Look in me, Lord, and see. If I'll let him look into me and I let him see what is really genuinely me, and I don't try to hide or protect myself or defend myself or validate or justify myself, but I allow him to tell me what he sees. And I deal with it. He allows me to see into him. And when I can see into him, I see me. When that sinks in, that'll be worth the price of admission. Obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This is a great one for growing in your spirit. Great one. You'll know if you want to grow, if you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You'll know that you don't really, truly want to grow. You just want to be okay where you're at. If you don't ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Especially if you go grocery shopping or something that's in the presence of other people. I'll be honest. There are times when my head is down. I look only at the floor tiles. I go and I get what I get and I get out of the store because I don't want to see anything to deal with. Other times, I say, Lord, whatever you want to do. I'll give a quick story. I was shopping at Tractor Supply last weekend. I needed to get some hydraulic oil for a bulldozer. So I was in there getting some hydraulic oil. And one of the salesmen was there, and there's a couple of big compressors, and one of them was marked down. And it was the larger of the two compressors. One was an 80-gallon, one was a 60. Is this TMI? It's probably TMI. Anyway, the point is, he was helping me, and he just kind of lingered for some reason. He lingered. And that was a cue from the Holy Spirit to me. He's lingering, okay? He's hovering around. There's something going on here. And I didn't get a check that it was a bad spirit, there was anything wrong. There was no bad feelings at all. So I thought, okay, Lord, what is it? Show me. And all of a sudden, out of his mouth pops, this is my second job. This is my, what's it called when a father has to pay to raise his children because he's no longer married? Child support. He said, this is my child support job. And I go, your child support job? He says, yeah, I do D as my other job, and this is me. He says, I'm just one of those wicked men. Now, he didn't use the word wicked. He used worthless men. I'm one of those worthless men. And I want to let you know, God jumped out of me. I looked him right in the eye, and I said, that is an absolute lie. And he was like, what? I said, that is not true. You are not a worthless man. We all have situations in our lives that we need to work out, but that does not determine our worth at all. It determines our responsibility, but not our worth. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, you belong to God. He goes, praise God. I go, okay, that's my cue. And I just started talking to him and sharing the gospel with him and telling him the truth of how to pray, how to speak over his life, how to actually believe God when there's no sign whatsoever that what he wants is true, that what he wants is looks impossible right now, but God's great at impossible. And I'll tell you what, in just about 10 minutes, he was completely changed. It was so anointed that people were walking by, including other employees, and I'm sitting there, standing there talking to him. They'd have their shopping carts, and it'd be going like this. Three of them did that. One was walking and just, like as if there was a don't run walk sign. It was like the weirdest thing. And what it is it's the anointing. They feel that anointing that's filling the room, and they get into that glory cloud, and it's like they can't help it. They can't help it. help it. And it was, that guy got really set free right then. Only because being filled up on the Lord to where you're so full, you don't worry about what he asks you to do. Opportunity shows up and it just bang, bang, it's live now. Staying filled up. Obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Very, very good for strengthening our spirits. Okay? Free up your spirit. Pray strongly in tongues to energize your spirit. Pray strongly and fluently until you feel your spirit freed. When you feel your spirit stirred up, you're doing it. It has nothing to do with your brain, your mind, your thoughts. It's not that. It's your spirit. As you pray in tongues, you're praying with your spirit. You see in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul says, I pray with my spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. So I will pray with my spirit and with my understanding. As you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God is moving through you. You start flowing. So before I go on anymore, let's do a little exercise, shall we? Yeah. Okay, three people are going to do it. All right. So I'm waiting for you to finish writing, then stand up when you're done writing. Not that you have to stand up to do this exercise. If it's hard on you to stand, feel free to remain seated. Yes, please, stand up. So, this is so much fun, all right? I'm going to set some ground rules for you guys. Ready? One, we're not in competition with each other. Two, this is between you and God to stir you up. Three, this is not an exercise in being polite. This is not an exercise in being right. This is not an exercise in any of those things. It's not an exercise in being holy. It's not an exercise in being reverent. That is not what we're doing right now. You're those things already. There's an exercise in stirring up your spiritual person on the inside. That the spiritual person starts buzzing and vibrating inside of you to the point that the inside person shows up on the outside. Okay? This is where we're going to get what's on the inside of us out on top of our flesh, on the outside. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to pray with intention. We're going to pray in our heavenly language. We're going to pray powerfully. We're going to be praying intentionally. We're going to, in our mind's eye, be building ourselves up, be energizing ourselves. We're going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. We're going to get more energy, more power, more power, more power. It's going to be a generator, and you are cranking the handle by speaking words. And the more intense and dominant and the more powerful you do it, just that generator puts more and more and more energy in you. You are going to pray in the Spirit with such fervor that you crack open this natural realm, that the spiritual realm invades this natural realm, that you find yourself actually in the presence of heaven in the kingdom of God. We're going to pray all the way through from this natural world fades out, and the heavenly world lights up. Okay? That means we have to do it intentional with intensity, not in competition. For some people aren't used to this, it'll take a lot out of you at first. That's okay. It's like any muscle you're going to exercise. Okay? You got to build up endurance. I would suggest when you do this at home, because you're going to have an exercise for this, you're going to time yourself the first day and write it in your journal. Then you time yourself the second day and you need to beat the first number. And you got to pray longer. And this means giving 100%, just like a workout. Remember, this is God's gym. You got to give it your all. You can't just show up and half-heartedly do your exercises. Okay? Give it your all, and we're going to pray intently. At first, maybe 5 minutes at home. But build yourself up over the week so that you can come in there and literally light the room on fire with the presence of God. I don't mean literal, but experientially. Okay? So we're going to go for 5 minutes. Okay? And relentlessly we're going to go for this. Amen? Unashamedly. So I'm going to turn off my microphone and we can go. For those of you that are watching over the cameras or listening with us, you pray with us. Okay? We're all going to fade out to you. But you just pray anyway, and you pray at home or in your car, wherever you're at, with 100% intensity. Okay? Amen. So let's begin. Halabana. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was 5 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you feel more energized than you were 5 minutes ago? Thank you, Lord. How many of you feel a difference? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That was 5 minutes only. 5 minutes. Doesn't take long, does it? Get yourself stirred up and built up. But listen, I just want to put another arrow in your quiver, another exercise for you. You choose the ones you want to use for whatever diet you want, whatever response you want, whatever outcome you want. But this one, building yourself up in your most holy faith, you being edified and built up, this is the prayer that does that. Okay? The way you just did it. Like your life depends on it, or someone else's life depends on it. Okay? This isn't the praying to yourself prayer. This isn't the reverential one. This is the you are exercising, where you're lifting that weight and you're going, pushing it up. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen those guys in the gym. Take that, throw it down on the ground. The whole room shakes. Whoa! That's this. Okay? That's this. Not a lot of people do this. It's when we have our prayer time, nobody does it. Because it almost like invades other people's space. Because you literally take over the atmosphere when you do this. But if you're in a room full of people that agree that we're not doing this for each other, we're not doing this to get a word for each other, we're doing this to be built up, to break the thunderclouds of our minds apart with a high pressure area that blows all the bad weather out of the way. You only get a high pressure area if you build it up pressure. Amen? You build it up and when that clears, the open channel is so much more vibrant. Amen? So, this is a militant way to pray. I encourage you to do it this week in your journals. Write down how long you do it for. Ready? I'm going to give you a help. Write down your time first. And then do it to that time. Okay? Because if you're by yourself, the chances are greater that your mind will cloud over, fog up, and you will let your feelings dictate your spiritualness. Rather than overruling yourself and following the instructions instead. So set down your time. You know you can do it for 5 minutes. If you add 5 minutes to the day for 7 days, you're already up to 40 minutes. Because it'll be 8 days before I see you again, including today. You did 5 today, right? So you'll be up to 40 minutes of intense, intense prayer. Okay? You can't do that for long without stuff breaking loose. And this is what the Lord said. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Huh? It's already being done, she says. That means this. He's going to shake you until there's nothing that could fall out. Whatever you're holding on to, you'll let go of it. Just like an earthquake. Doesn't matter what you were doing before the earthquake. During the earthquake, you let it go. Your attention transfers to an entirely different realm during an earthquake, doesn't it? Your priorities change. Where you can be so busy being mad at somebody, and when the earth starts quaking, it's amazing how that person just really doesn't matter as much as they did 2 minutes ago. Okay? Because your life is in danger now. And God says it's going to start in the house of God. And that if we will judge ourselves, then He won't need to judge us. If we will come in this and let this stuff fall off of us that isn't of the kingdom of God, the chances are you'll have much more grace and you'll be filled full for the people that God has crossed your path. There'll be less of you and more of Him. This is a good way that you decrease and He increases. Amen? But like anything, if you're doing cardio, you have to keep it up. I've heard the saying that we have leaky vessels. I don't really know if that's true. She says she leaks. That depends. little humor. So, I don't know if we leak or not, but I do know that our attention fades, and wherever our attention is at is what will be magnified. I do know that's true. All right? So, let me go through these other ones just quickly for the next 5 minutes, if you give me that grace. Faith expectations. Expect the Spirit of God to speak to you. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Expectation draws the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end up doing a teaching on expectations pretty soon. Because expectations is the most incredible tool. It's the most incredible thing. Because it allows us to, how do I say it, transform or to participate in or to cause to be whatever it is we're desiring. An expectant heart. So let me take this in the negative so you can get a good example. My wife and I, when we go to our relatives, we have a new saying. We have no expectations, and we keep it simple. Why do you think we would say we have no expectations? Because then I won't be disappointed when other people want to be in charge of my calendar. Right? I will go with the flow if I'm not expecting it to go any way. Right? I'll naturally go with the flow. Guess what? It's the same thing in the Spirit. If you have no expectations, guess what? You're not driving at all. You're a passenger in the kingdom of God. So whatever comes your way is what you get. But if you have expectations in the kingdom of God, you get into the driver's seat with the Holy Spirit, pilot and co-pilot together, and start causing things to come to pass. Like the presence of God. If you start coming into church, coming into your worship room, coming into your closet is not a physical room, although it could be. Your closet is the room on the inside where you go and you become completely transparent and vulnerable with God. And you start moving into being with Him and around Him and let Him show you things and tell you things. And you go on little journeys with Him, actually. And your inner man. And then your room on the inside has no limits on how big it is. It's the kingdom of God in you. And you can literally live in that room when you've cut yourself off and quieted all your senses in the outer world. That's why he says to go into your room and close your door. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you out there in the natural. I'm getting real big goosebumps right now. This is ministering to me. I hope somebody else is getting something out of this. All right? So when we do that, when we really do go into our prayer chamber and get with God and let him talk to us and share with us, and we go on adventures with him, the reality of that will manifest in this outer world. That's so much more than the average person can get right on the surface. That is huge. That is seeing into the kingdom and entering into the kingdom. You can't do that unless you're born of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? I said 5 minutes. I got distracted there. Focus. Focus your attention on listening for the voice of God. See him speaking to you and working through you. See him speaking to you and working through you. When you're in your inner room, when you're meditating, when you're praying, when you're mulling over the scriptures, when you're worshiping by yourself in the presence of your home or your wherever, see him speaking to you, working through you. Don't let your mind be distracted or wander. If it is, bring it back again. Just like praying intensely and fervently, like your life depends on it, passionately, boldly, strongly, with power and purpose, it's intense. You got to constantly be telling yourself, keep going, keep going, keep pushing. The same way with holding a picture in your heart. Holding a picture in your heart, you have to keep practicing at it. When your mind wanders, bring it back to the picture. When something happens and it distracts your attention, bring it back to the picture. And start at the beginning. Each time you get distracted, go back to the beginning and start walking through the scene again. Your soul will learn that it has to have continuity. It has to be able to see the end from the beginning and go through the whole thing. It has to be clear. It has to be focused. It has to be real. Your soul will learn that. But if you don't exercise it, you'll think you can't even do it. It won't even come to you to operate on that level because it's a spiritual thing. Okay? Takes intention. This is an exercise class. Amen? We're in the gym now. So we don't let our mind be distracted. Feel. Identify with the impressions that the Holy Spirit gives you. Identify with the impressions that the Holy Spirit gives you. Was it a word? Was it a picture? Was it an impression? How did he speak to you when you were in your closet with him? Or when you're praying in your heavenly language? Or when you were worshiping him? Or when you were meditating? How did he speak to you? Was it a word? An actual written word on your mind or heart? Was it a picture, a light movie? Was it a Polaroid that's just started developing clearer and clearer and clearer the more focused you got? Was it an inspiration, inward knowing? Start paying attention to how he's communicating to you so that can bloom. And whatever it was, focus your attention on that. Look at it and ask the Holy Spirit for more details. Where you're including God and you, now you're working together. I've been practicing this exercise, and I think I even told the whole church once, is that I started by faith and I had to pray really intently like you guys just did to break through. Then I started rejoicing out loud. Praise you, Jesus. Love you, God. I mean, my goal is to crack open whatever is between me and him. Blast it apart. So that I don't care who hears me. I don't care what's going on. There's nothing in this world that's going to oppress me to stop me from doing this. That's how I do it, because I need that to get that solid connection. And then when I get that connection and I'm in it, then the Lord, where's he at? I start looking for him. Where's he at? Lord, where are you? And I see him. Once I can connect, he takes over after that. Once I come to him and I got that image in my heart and I'm with him, then he, from his side of the relationships, starts teaching me and showing me things. You can't get that out of the book, you guys. When the Lord shows it to you, it's different than when another person tells you. I'm telling you. Because when he talks to you, you'll believe him. All right. Faith action. Speak out what it is that God has blessed you with, what he's revealed to you. Step out and act on what he has shown you. That's a little more bold, isn't it? It's a little bit more bold when, if he's showing you, say, he's showing you Cindy Cross. Cindy Cross. I don't know any Cindy Crosses, so I'm making up a person. If your name is Cindy Cross, I'm not talking about you. Cindy Cross, okay? And all of a sudden, I'm praying like this, and I'm praying out loud, and I'm worshiping strongly, and then I come into my inner room, and I connect with the Lord, and I'm talking with Jesus, and he starts sharing Cindy Cross with me. She starts coming up in my heart. I keep getting an impression about her. Write it down. Find out what he's saying. Ask him questions about her. Let him show you. The chances are you're going to go have a dialogue with that woman. Okay? He's going to use you to speak into their life or to set them free in some capacity. Okay? That's what his goal is for each one of us, that we become usable. That we become, it's not about us getting enough. We become usable now for him. Amen? And the more you're built up, I'm telling you, you don't have to try to be usable. It's flowing out of you. You're seeing and you're hearing and you're connected. But you got to keep it up. Okay? The miracle does not take place until you put yourself in the place of risk. The miracle does not take place until you put yourself in the place of risk. Do I need to explain that? When you step out in faith, not having all of the answer, not having all of the word, not having all of the direction, but you do it because you got a word, you got a picture, you got some direction, and you step out in that moment, God says, oh, they're going to move, and then, boom, he'll give you the stuff. He'll give it to you after you start taking action. Okay? If you have a rudder on a ship, on a boat, if the boat is dead in the water, you can turn that rudder any way you want. The boat is not going anywhere. But if the boat's moving just a little bit, you can steer it exactly to where you want it to go, right? Same thing with God. He'll give you some. The more trained you are, the more you're going to get more flow and it'll be clearer. But in the beginning, step out with just the little that you have and let him feed you more. As you speak and act on what you have received, the Holy Spirit will give you more or will act as a supernatural way. Will act in a supernatural way. He'll do a miracle. At some point, you have to take the risk and act upon what you feel the Holy Spirit is showing you. Are you with me? Amen. So, we were able to pray in our Holy Spirit. We were able to build ourselves up. We've been journaling. We take a chapter of the Bible. How many of you did that this week? Good. And just take a chapter or a portion of Scripture and mull over it, meditate on it, let the Holy Spirit give you light so you get something out of that that feeds your spirit, man, or feeds your soul from your spirit. Okay? So we're doing journaling, reading our Bible, gleaning from our Bible, and now we're praying in the Holy Spirit with fervor. Okay? Time yourself. You did 5 minutes. Do more than that next time and build on that throughout the week. Intensely. Are you with me? Okay. So I just want to let you know, from praying in the Spirit like you did just now, it's very possible, like anytime you expend everything at the gym, you'll be dragging just a little bit after it calms back down again, okay? I want to let you know, that's normal, all right? So don't think, oh, I don't know why I'm so tired right now and I'm yawning. It's not you, trust me. And I'm not boring, so I know it's not that. So it is that. It's from us expending so much energy in this. But as we build up a tolerance, you'll be able to do a lot more. Amen? All right. So I just want to pray real quick and we'll close this up. Father, I just thank you for everyone that's been viewing today, listening today, that's here present with us today, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you energize each and every one of these people, Lord. That you help them, Father. You address them individually, Lord. You magnify the work that they're accomplishing in the Spirit, Lord. That hope would be established in them. Like a weightlifter, Father. That they put that key into a certain amount of weight and that they actually press that weight, Lord Jesus. Until their physical body in the natural grows, that their spiritual endurance would increase, Lord Jesus. That their spiritual fervor would be brighter, would be clearer. That they can see further in the invisible realm, Lord Jesus. And that their awareness of what other people are going through would increase as our communication with you increases, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you for that. And, Father, I ask for a special blessing to be on those that have been obedient to be doing their homework, Lord. And for those that haven't had the time or the inclination, Lord, I ask that you just be gracious with them and help them to keep going forward from this place, Lord, so that everyone can make progress. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.